This is Will Friedle from Pod Meets World. Let's be honest. The 90s gave us some great things. The music, totally rad. The fashion, so fly. Home decor, that's a different story. In HGTV's new competitive series, Totally 90s House, two teams of iconic TV stars take on two homes frozen in time. Paired with HGTV experts, they'll turn dated spaces into fresh modern homes and compete for the ultimate bragging rights. Goodbye, honey oak cabinets. Hello, 21st century. Totally 90s House. Special series premiere starts August 26th at 9, 8 central on HGTV.
L-E-D-E-N-E-Z. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Steve Lehman in for Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson on a Friday. We got a huge weekend in sports as the Titans and Texans. We'll get back to our final questions of the week for the Titans-Texans game coming up next segment just a few minutes from now. Obviously, the Vols and the Memphis Tigers in probably the biggest basketball game I can remember in December in this state in quite some time. It's going to be awesome, maybe even going back to the 08 one versus two Calipari versus Bruce Pearl game out there at FedEx Forum. That was spectacular, but that's tomorrow. Preds with a huge game, 5:30 puck drop against the Dallas Stars tomorrow night. You got the Heisman Trophy, which feels like nobody's even paying attention to. Barton Simmons, although, because there is another story here, and that is that this is the last weekend you can recruit. You've got early signing period, which is now just the signing period, next Wednesday. Barton Simmons from 24/7 Sports joining us here. Barton, how are you, my friend?
Man, I'm good. How we doing?
We're doing well. So before we get to Jeremy Pruitt, I just want to get your thoughts in general about all these new coaches. You got Mike Norvell at Florida State, all these new coaches across the country. We've now had 3 years of the early signing period. How difficult is it to take a new job today in college football and put together a class in all of 8 or 12 days?
It's brutal. And in a lot of cases, I mean, look at Boston College. They haven't even hired a coach yet. I assume there's going to be one hired this weekend, but that coach comes in and basically misses the early signing period completely for the most part. So it's a tough deal to navigate. And I mean, I'll put it this way, you know, back before the early signing period, in a lot of cases, you know, people associate a coaching change with a dip in a recruiting class and a recruiting cycle that in which you're going to have some struggles. But the reality of the previous system was that really wasn't the case. If you had a new coach come in that was an aggressive, hardworking coach that was prioritized recruiting, he could come in with the new optimism, the promise of a new staff, a new day, and really piece together a really strong class by using those official visit dates in December and those official visit dates in January to flip a bunch of commits, get in the door on a bunch of new guys, and really generate a ton of momentum for recruiting towards February. But the new signing day, with it coming in December now, once that early signing day, that early signing period has passed, according to our numbers at 24/7 Sports, about 80% of the expected FBS signees are off the board. So if you don't get some serious work done before that early signing period, your inventory of prospects to choose from is at about 20% of the total number of FBS prospects. And so that's a really tough deal to navigate. So it really is important to make those moves quickly and decisively as an AD, and it's really important for those coaches to really hit the ground running when they take over and make the most of every day.
Barton, Jeremy Pruitt navigated some rocky waters early at Tennessee. Obviously, a lot of momentum with the way the Vols finished the season on the field. They got the big commitment from Omari Thomas out of Memphis just earlier this week. What do the Vols look like as we head towards Wednesday next week in terms of their class?
Yeah, it's the top 20 class right now. You know, it is, I think, they've done a really good job of evaluating which has been, I think, a staple of the Jeremy Pruitt tenure early on. They've been able to get bigger. I think that's kind of consistent year over year is something that Tennessee is trying to do, is just get bigger everywhere. You know, they've gotten this year they're getting bigger at linebacker. They got two 250-pound linebackers out of Memphis Whitehaven. They just got Omari Thomas, you mentioned, who is another really talented line of scrimmage prospect that's got a lot of versatility. They got the quarterback, a guy named Harrison Bailey out of Georgia, who's one of the best in the country. And so I think that, you know, it's not a class that's sort of reverberating across the college football landscape with some sort of top five finish, but I think right now the way they're building it and in order to sort of take the incremental steps needed to be where they want to be, it's important to get the right guys, not miss on anybody, get high football character types. And then once you start putting together some really big seasons, then you can start swinging for the fences a little bit because you can be more selective and have some access to players that maybe you wouldn't otherwise. So I think right now they're in the process of building up to where they want to be. And, I've been very impressed with the way they evaluate. And I think this class is another example of that.
In general, we know who the elite recruiters are in the SEC, and we know Tennessee can be a top 15 recruiting team. But even if you finish 15th, that might make you 7th or 8th in the SEC in terms of talent. We just know how treacherous it is in this conference. Can you win consistently? Like Clemson has been odd because they are so extraordinarily talented and so much better than everybody in their conference, basically, and they're winning national titles and they're the best program in America. But they're not landing top three classes. Now I know they're like number one right now, but they've sort of been in that 8 to 12 to 15 range. Can you do that in the SEC if you're Tennessee? Can you land the 14th best class every year and win an SEC title consistently if you're not even in the top five in the SEC in recruiting?
I don't know. I don't know if you can win an SEC. I mean, you can be really successful because I think it's important as long as you're hitting. Like, there are top 15 or top 20 type classes that are filled with guys that are kind of overhyped or misrepresented as elite players. And then there are classes that are really high quality, underrated classes in that sort of 15 and 20 range. And to be totally honest with you, I think Tennessee is more of the latter, a program that has strong classes, but the way they're evaluating, I think that they're typically getting, you know, they're not missing on many. And so I think you can have a really good class, but I do think it's a little bit of a different landscape in the SEC. First of all, with the Clemson stuff is while they haven't always had top five classes, the reason for that is partially due to the limited attrition that they have. Often they have smaller classes, and in those even top eight, top 10 classes they're bringing in, you know, there's usually a few five-star future first-round draft picks within those groups. And so they supplement those guys with the back end, guys that really fit your culture, guys that are high character, guys that, that maybe the Alabamas or the Georgias might pass on, but the Clemson sees as guys that really fit their program. So that's if you're trying to compete for national titles or trying to compete for SEC championships, then there is a certain level of elite NFL talent you have to have on your roster, and I think the rest of your roster has to be really high end overachievers that are going to build a strong culture within your program, and that's what Clemson's had in part. I think Tennessee was really excited about the way this true freshman class this year came in with strong football character. And so I think that if they continue to hit on that, regardless of what the rankings are, then I think they're going to be able to continue to ascend. Even if it's a little more deliberate than maybe some Vol fans are would hope for, it's they're going to be pointed in the right direction.
Well, it should be a huge weekend for recruiting, and then obviously a huge Wednesday next weekend. 24/7 Sports, your home for all that good stuff. Barton, always a pleasure, my man. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Barton Simmons there. Just wanted to dip the toe a little bit. I know it's a huge sports weekend, but – it is something to keep an eye on, as Tennessee had a very big week on the recruiting trail this week. And signing day coming up on Wednesday, it's no longer the early signing period, Steve. It's just the signing period. 75-80% of prospects are going to sign on Wednesday. It is the future of college football. I know it's hard to get into the weeds on recruiting with a lot of people, but it is a critically important day for college football. And Tennessee, I think they're sitting at 19th or 18th in the rankings right now. If they can land a couple more players, Tennessee can be right into that top 15 territory. And only two teams have made the playoff without a top 15 average recruiting class, and that was Michigan State and Washington, and they lost by like a combined 75 to like 7 or something like
it's
that.
It's weird how when you get good players, you generally are pretty good.
Yeah, just because you get great players doesn't make you a great team, but no great teams have been assembled without great players.
Yep.
So there you have it. All right, when we return, the final questions about the Tennessee Titans, I got a bunch of them. I'm going to go rapid fire with you, Steve, and I want you to give me definitive answers, unequivocally true answers. Things that are going to happen.
Done.
The final questions on the Titans and Texans as we prepare for a first-place battle in the AFC South. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August is finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.